Today's shiur is dedicated by Dr. Yosef and Mrs. Yael Gurevich in honor of their grandparents, Mr. and Mrs. Moshe Rubin. Today's shiur is for Zchus Farfu Shleima, for Shalom and Bracha. Today's shiur is Masechta Ksubis Daf Ayin Vav, and we will begin on Daf Ayin He Amid Beis, 15 lines from the bottom, Eisve Abaya. In our previous shiur, we had learned in the Mishnah a situation where a husband had married a woman and then it's discovered that she has mumim. And that is a debate between the father and the husband. When did those mumim develop? The father claims that those mumim developed after she was mureses. And it is to the bad fortune of the husband, and the father and the husband claims it was before, and it was a mekach tos because he wasn't aware that this girl had these mumim. And in the previous year, the Gemara had attempted to use different halachic principles how to resolve this type of dispute. And the last principle that the Gemara had suggested was a case of a concept of kan nimtzu kan hayo. We look where is the problem in front of us. If the issue is while she's still in her father's house, so we assume that the problem developed in the father's home. If the issue is in the home of the husband, we assume that the issue developed in the husband's home. That was the final principle that the Gemara had wanted to use in attempting to deal with such situations. And that's the principle that the Gemara wanted to use to be able to explain the halacha as was identified in our Mishnah. Eisrei Abaya asks Abaya, if the mum was identified while this girl was still in her father's home, even though, as we had learned in our previous year, it is the opinion of our Gamliel that we follow the Cheskos HaGuf, and we say that the woman was not a Baalas Mum until the last moment, still, we follow the principle of Kan Nimtzu Kan Hayu and say that the Mum developed here. So, asked Abaya, it says in the Braisa, Nitnasal Rishus HaBaal, if the girl was already taken to her husband's home, and then the mumim were discovered, habal tzarich lo viraya, it now becomes the husband's responsibility to prove she'at shetlus aris ha'ibam mumim elu, that the mumim were there before the erisin, and therefore, as we just explained, he can make a claim for yamecha mechatos. What do we see from here? At shetlus aris, the husband has to prove that the mumim were there before the erisin, mishita aris, but if the mumim was discovered after the erisin, loy, then the husband would not be able to prevail in this dispute. Vamai asks Abaya, if Rava just expressed this concept of kan nimtzu kan haya, lema, why don't we say kan nimtzu kan haya, if the mumim were discovered, if the mumim were discovered that they were in the father's home, when they were in the father's home, then he should still be able to win the din Torah. We must, therefore, if that's the way we approach these type of situations, because that says Abaye, that obviously is not the psak of the Braisa. We obviously don't follow the principle of kan nimtzu kan haya, and therefore, what is the reason? Because we follow the Cheskos HaGuf. Amalei, so Rava defends himself. If we could prove that the mumim were there only after the erisin, somebody who marries a woman certainly checked out that she has no mumim. And therefore, certainly he was well aware that she had these mumim. And since he was well aware that she had this mumim, he cannot claim mekach tos. Rather, he must have been well aware of this issue. V'rav and nispayis, He knew, and he was willing to accept the situation. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi, if that becomes now the operating principle, that if the husband could say, that we could say to the husband, you certainly must have known, because had you not, you must have checked her out beforehand. Ihachi, Achitelos Aris, Nami, even if the Mumin could be discovered that they were there before if the husband could bring Adam, that the Mumin were there before the Arison, Nami, why does he win the Dentira? Why can't we say, yes, she had these Mumin before, but you obviously were willing to accept this Mumin? El Amrinan, why can't we accept that argument? Because we must say that there's a chazaka, that we have an operating principle that ain't Adam Mephias B'mumin. Husbands aren't willing to accept that. So Hachinami, so even in a case where a Mumin were found after the Arison, and we said, well, if the Mumin were found after Arison, it must be that the husband knew and accepted it. Why don't we argue Chazaka, then ain't Adam Mephias B'mumin? No husband is willing to accept that situation. Ella, so says Rava, what must be the way to understand? Mishnas Arsa, if the Mumin were only discovered after the Arison, says Rava the Iketarti Chazaka, the two Chazakas that prevail here, that she should have to pay the Ksuba. One Chazaka that makes him lose is the Chazaka of Hamid Guf al Chaskasai. The woman has a cheskes aguf that she is fine. Since she has a cheskes aguf that she's fine, and that she became a balas mum only in the latest moment, that's one reason why the husband's claim is weak. The second is, as we learned in our shir, chazaka that ein adam shayis b'kasalam kein batkai. A man doesn't marry a woman without checking out that she indeed is not a balas mum. And it must be that if she is a balas mum, it must be because high rov in the faisu. He knew and accepted it. My amrit, but what is the counterclaim to that? Chazaka ain't adam mefayis b'mumin. Had he known she was a balas mum, he would have never married her. Says the Gemara, have a chada. So we have three chazakas in this discussion. We have one chazaka of cheskes aguf, which is to her favor. We have another chazaka of chazaka ain't adam shoyis b'kais elm kein bayit kai, which again is to her favor. And then we have a chazaka of ein adam mefayis b'mumin, which is to her disfavor. It's to the favor of the husband. Says the Gemara, chada b'makom tarti, that when we have one chazaka in one direction, and another chazaka, and two other chazakas in the other direction, chazaka b'makom tarti, we follow the majority of chazakas. And the majority of chazakas in this discussion are in her favor. However, if the Eidim are able to say that the Mumin were there before the Arison, actually the Saris, so the Cheskes HaGuf, which we keep on explaining and will keep on explaining, tell us that the Mum came later, doesn't exist here. Hamid Guf al Chazaka, the cheskes aguf that the mum came later is not workable here. Ma'iker, what is working here? Chazaka de einan mshayis kais alm came bayit kai, that the husband must have known that she had a mum, because no husband marries a wife without knowing that she's a balas mum. High rov and faisul, he must have been known and must have known and been willing to accept it. But on the other hand, chazaka ain't adam mefayis b'mumin. Here, there's a chazaka that says that men won't marry a woman that has a chazaka. So because we have here these conflicting chazakas, and there are two chazakas that are in the favor of the husband, that's why in such a case we say, hamid mamin al chaskasai, and he will prevail. And unless the father could prove that either the mum came later, or that the husband truly was aware of the mum and accepted it, the husband would not have to pay the ksuba. Again, as we discussed in our previous shiur, We went back to the Gemara at the beginning of Masecht on Daf Yud Beis, which the Gemara in the beginning of the Masecht taught us a machlokes of Rav Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. Do we follow the Cheskas Haguf and say that things changed in the last moment only, Rav Gamliel's opinion, or we don't, machlokes Rabbi Yeshua's opinion? And the difficulty we had was that our Mishnah, the Rashis seemed to indicate that we followed the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, and the Sefer seemed to indicate that we followed the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel. And the first reaction the Gemara gave, which was obviously a difficult reaction, was Tavra, Misha Shanazu La Shanazu, that the Rashi and the Sefer represent different opinions, which, as we discussed, is not the typical approach the Gemara has to these type of situations. And because of that, the Gemara, Rava said that we follow the concept of Kan Nimtzu Kan Hayu, which Rava sort of modified in today's shir. And now Rav Ashi has a different approach. Rav Ashi says that our entire Mishnah follows the opinion of Rav Gamliel, which, as we said, Rav Gamliel and Rav Yeshua have a debate. When we have these two conflicting chazakas, we have on one hand the Cheskas Haguf, which says that the mum that this woman has must have come later. And since the mum that this woman has must have come later, it's against the husband, and he's going to have to pay the ksuba. The Cheskas Mamon, which is very much similar to a concept that's often discussed in Shas, and that is the concept of Hamotzim Chavera Olav Araya. We want to demand that the husband should have to pay. So Cheskas Mamon says that unless we could conclusively prove that the husband has to pay, the halacha is that the husband will not have to pay, and therefore Cheskas Mamon works in his favor. So we have here these two conflicting chazakas, and the Gemara is saying that when we have here these two conflicting chazakas, now says Rav Ashi, the opinion of Rav Gamliel, which Rav Gamliel says we follow the Cheskas Haguf, and we say that the moment must have come the last moment. Rav Ashi Amar, so then how do we understand the Mishnah? Says the Gemara, Reisha, when the mumu were found when the girl is still in her father's house, is in a situation, Mana la'aba biyatcha. The ksuba of an arusa goes to her father. So if her claim prevails, who's going to get the ksuba? The father is getting to get the ksuba. Even though, says the Rav Ashi, that Cheskas Haguf prevails, Cheskas Haguf can only prevail for the person who has the Cheskas Haguf. Cheskas Haguf cannot prevail for someone else. And therefore, since in this case, if she's still in her father's home, the ksuba will go to her father, she can't win that then Torah. Sefer, where she's already in the husband's home, and if she's going to prevail in the Nentaira, the ksuba will go to her. That's when the Cheskas Haguf, money li biyotcha, that the husband will have to pay her the ksuba. Then the halacha is that the ksuba she will prevail based on her Cheskas Haguf, because the Cheskas Haguf is always stronger. Here we learn a very interesting issue. Does a Cheskas Haguf claim, the Gemara is saying, only works for the person who's making it, not for someone else? So I saw a very interesting shayla that the Sefer Cheshukei Chemed discusses. Somebody came to a store and bought a very expensive watch, and he paid 50%, and he was going to owe the other 50%, come back and pay. He takes the watch home, he opens up the watch, and he sees that the watch has a very bad scratch on it. He comes back to the store, and he had never worked with the owner of the store. He had worked with a salesperson in that store. And he claims, you sold me a defective watch. It has a scratch on it. I should not have to pay the entire cost of the watch. The salesperson says, I know that this scratch only happened, that the watch that was sold was perfectly fine. Now, the issue here is that the claim is being made to the storekeeper. The storekeeper is going to take the loss. But the person he has the argument with is the salesperson. So do we say, since it's not the salesperson, Chazaka, that could win, let's say the store would have a winning claim, but it's her claim and she doesn't own the store. The Chashukei Chemet seems to say that the store, the salesperson, although they don't actually own the store, is considered an extension of the owner of the store, and if the Chazaka would help the storekeeper, it would help her as well, the salesperson as well. Eisvei, Rav Achav Reider, Rav Avi, Rav Ashi, Moider HaMumim, B'Mumim HaRuin L'Lovi Mebe Beis Aviyah. The Gemara is assuming that means that if you have a mum that is not really visible, and therefore it's possible that they would never know, Shall Av L'Havi Raya. Since it's most likely possible that she had this mum previously, then the halacha is that the husband will win. But why? If we're following a coin of Ashi, we always follow the Cheskas Aguf, why don't we say that this is a case of Mana Libi Yotchehu? Answers the Gemara, the Brice is speaking about Hachmai Skinin B'Yaseiris, that the mum is that she has an extra finger. That's the type of mum that everybody would see. Says the Gemara, B'Yaseiris, my Rai Maisi. So if that's the kind of mum, how can we have a debate when the mum happened? Nobody, that's a mum that comes from childbirth. Answers the Gemara, their argument is the Rav and the Faisu. One, the father says, you knew about the mum and you accepted it. And the other one says, I never knew about it. Amar Yudah Mishmul, Hamachla Par B'Chamar. That means you have one person owns a cow and one person owns a donkey. And they made a deal between themselves that they're going to exchange the cow for the donkey. And the owner of the donkey did a kinyan in the paro. And we know that meshicha, schlepping it, is a valid act of kinyan. And now, given that the Baal HaChamor took ownership of the paro, the Baal HaParo took ownership of the chamor. Now that ownership happens automatically. Once one act of kinyan happened, that the person who owns the donkey took ownership of the parah, the person who till now owned the parah automatically now owns the chamor. However, the owner of the cow, who now is presumably the owner of the donkey, did not have an opportunity to take that donkey to his home at Shemesa Chamor until the donkey died. And now we have a very big machloikus. When did the donkey die? Did the donkey die before the kinyan? And therefore, it was still in the rishus of the owner, the original owner. And the kinyan obviously is not a valid kinyan. There was nothing to exchange. Or did it die after the meshicha that the Baal HaChamor did in the para? And it was this, the original owner of the cow's loss. The owner of the original owner of the donkey has to bring a raya that it was still alive at the time of the kinyan. That tanatuna, and we have the tanatuna, and to back this up is our mishnah, the din of kala. So a statement was made. In order to resolve this situation of the par and chamor, we say it becomes the owner of the donkey's obligation to prove that the chamor was still alive when the kinyan took place. And then he added, the support that is the proper way to approach the shaila is based on what we just learned about the kala. Ask the Gemara, hi kala, what is the case of the kala that we've been learning that supports that? Ilema, kala v'vesavia. If we're going to say it's a case of a kala v'vesavia, that means the case that we've just been learning, that the kala was discovered to be a balas mum when she was still in her father's home, that according to Belazar, going back to Daf Ayin Heyam and Beis, that according to Bishua, the cheskes mumin is stronger than the cheskes aguf, and therefore, even though now she's already married, since that the mum was discovered in the father's home, The father has to prove that the mum only developed in the after the erusin, but otherwise not. So in the case, we'll say the same thing here, that the Baal Chamor has to bring a raya, even though it's after the kinyan was done, that the Chamor was alive at the time of the kinyan. But says the Gemara, mi dami, how can we compare the two situations? Hasam maisi av raya, the father, if he brings a raya that the mum only developed after the erusin, matik, he'll win the dentira. Hacha, in the case of the chamor and the para, maisi bal chamor raya, if he'll bring a raya that the chamor died after the kinyan, maikim, he'll win the dentira. So it's just the opposite. Amar Rab Abba, what Shmuel meant to say was the case of Kalabes Chamel. That means we learned that once she gets married, that the halacha is that we, according to Belazo, we follow the Gamaliel's opinion of the Cheskes Aguf, and we say that the Cheskes Aguf is stronger than the Cheskes Hamamon, and we say that the mum came later, even though the mum developed in the father's home. If the husband can't prove that he doesn't have to pay the ksuba, if the husband can't prove that this mum was there before the erusin, this girl got married, she's in a sua, and she's entitled to a ksuba unless the husband could definitively prove that she's not. Says, and the same thing by the Baal Chamor. He has to be able to prove that when the kinyan took place, the Chamor was alive. And that's why he keeps the para, and the person who originally owned the para will be the loser in this case. But ask the Gemara Kati, Leidami, the two cases aren't similar. Hasam, in our Mishnah, Baal Maisi Revi, Raya, the husband's trying to bring a Raya that the mum was there earlier, and by bringing that Raya, Mar Leil Cheskid Av, he weakens the father's Chazaka, that the Chazaka says, that the Cheskis Aguf says, that the mum came later. Hocha, in our case, Baal Chamor Maisi Raya, he brings a Raya that the Chamor was alive when the kinyan took place, and that Moikim Cheske B'yadei, he strengthens his case. He's strengthening the Cheske Saguf. So here, in our case that we were trying to learn from our Mishnah, is a case where the Cheske Saguf is being weakened, that even though the father has a Cheske Saguf, the Raya that the husband brings weakens the Cheskes Aguf. And here what the Baal Chamor does is strengthen the Cheskes Aguf. Amar Nachma Yitzchak, Kala Be'ei Saviya. Shmuel speaking about a case with a Kala still in her father's home. That in that case, according to Yeshua, the Cheskes Mamon is stronger on the Cheskes Aguf. And therefore, the halacha will be that the father has to be able to prove that the mum came later. Ula Kedushin. The Mishnah says that the father has to bring a raya, that he doesn't only have to bring a raya to be able to collect the ksuba, but he also has to bring a raya to be able to keep the kesef kedushin that he received from the husband. Because the husband is saying that the kesef kedushin that I gave you, I want back. Because he says that it was a mekach tos. Because he says that the woman was a balas mum. And since she was a balas mum, it was a mekach tos. So now the father's trying to bring a raya, even though the suffix now only began when she's already by her husband's home. It didn't happen in his home. And it's not only to be able to collect the ksuba that he needs to bring a raya. He needs to bring a raya to hold on to the money he already received as kesef kedushin. Because the suffix, according to Yeshua, began at the moment of the marriage. And he says we always follow the Cheskes Mamon. We always say HaMoitzim Chaveirov Olav Haraya. And if the father can't definitively prove that he is entitled to keep the Cheskes Kedushin, he will have to return it. Says the Gemara the same thing. When the Chamor died, the Baal Chamor has to be, and therefore he claims that the cow is supposed to be mine, he has to be able to prove the cow is his. And if he doesn't have that proof, he won't be able to get the cow. Says the Gemara, says the Gemara of Nachman Yitzchak takes this a step further. There's a question. How do we look at Kesef Kedushin? The Loi Tema, don't say that this that we just said is going to leave the man the Amr Kedushin Lavla Tibuin Nitnu. The Kedushin money was not meant to be stayed by the father or by the wife. And even if the marriage never happens, the Kedushin money, the Nisun never happens, the Kedushin money still stays by the father. Don't say, according to that opinion, the halacha is that the Kedushin money, if it has to go back, certainly will have to go back. That it stays with the father forever. Hanimili, when does it stay by the father? Only in a case where we had a Kedushin vaday. But here we had a Kedushin tos. And since we had a Kedushin tos, imaisa raya, if you could bring a raya in, and a loy, if you can't bring a raya, loy. Meisvei, ask the Gemara. One of the treifas that the Gemara Masechet Chulin, Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph discusses, is if an animal has a puncture in its stomach. The stomach of an animal is called a Beis HaKosis. And the puncture has to go through both layers of the stomach. Says the Mishnah Masechet Chulin, Mach Shenintzus Ba'ayva Beis HaKosis, if a needle was found puncturing the stomach, if it only went through one layer of the lining of the stomach, kshera, mitzarecha kshera. Mishnei tzadim, if it goes through both linings, the animal is deemed a treifa. Nimtza, if the needle went through both linings, nimtza led kurtam, if there's blood, the yiduishul fnei shechita. That's a proof that this happened already before the animal died, and the animal was a treifa. And the person could claim, I didn't buy an animal that's a balas mum. That's a mekich tos. Loinim tzara kertam. If there is no dam, b'yidua shalach shchita. That this happened only after the shchita. And since it happened after the shchita, then the halacha is the sale of the animal was a perfectly good sale. The animal was not a balas mum. Huglet b'yamaka. If there's a scab on top of this wound, then we know for sure that mak was already there for 3 days before the animal was killed. Because it takes 3 days for a scab to form. And furthermore, a scab cannot form on a dead animal. But if you don't have a scab to show, he has to be able to bring a raya, the buyer has to be able to bring a raya, that this animal was defective. And if he can't bring that raya, if he already paid money, why shouldn't he say lebal behema, my siraya, bring a raya that the animal was a healthy animal, anoikim. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah is talking about a case, where he didn't pay yet. And since he didn't pay yet, that's why the Bryce is saying the seller has no ability to take the money from the buyer unless he could prove that the sale was a valid sale. But ask the Gemara, my Pascha, what makes to say that the Bryce is specifically speaking about a case where money wasn't paid? Where do we see that? Don't accept these rules that Yehuda says the name of Shmuel. We look at where the suffix began. And wherever the suffix began, all of Araya. That's the one that's going to have to bring Araya to what? To prevail. And here too, he says, what is the proof to that statement? Kala. Meisvei asked. And therefore, if the suffix happened by the father has to bring a raya. If the suffix happened by the husband will when she's ready by the husband will have to bring a raya. Meisvei asked the Gemara, the Braisa says, Mach shenim sabayvi beis hakoisis, id lo yav tamich dami, and if the buyer did not pay, balabayim loy lasui raya mapik. But amai, sveikim b'shus tabachas yalad. Now the money, not the animal, is by the buyer. And we just said if a suffix is by the buyer, that wherever the Suffolk is, he has to prove his case. Says the mother, you have Tamik Dami. It's talking about where he paid already. And since he paid already, he wants to get back his money, he can't get back his money, without definitive proof. Or my Pascha. What makes us say that the Bryce is speaking about that he already paid? Because says the Marstam de Milsa, Kamen de Layov in Izuzi, as long as the person didn't pay, Layev in Ishkaisa, the seller, would, until the buyer would pay for the animal, the seller would not have paid for the seller would not have paid for that animal, would have not given over the animal. The fact that he gave over the animal is an araya that he already paid, and that's why it talks about the situation. The Pesach Tshuva uses this Gemara to a different situation. He speaks about a situation where somebody sold an esrog, and the esrog was sold in a sealed box, where the buyer cannot examine the esrog prior to the sale. If the esrog turns out to be possible, he is responsible to refund the money. However, says the Pesach Tshuva that this halacha does not override the minig hamakom. That means in a place where the minig is not to refund the money, the buyer cannot demand the refund. Because he says, whatever we have a discussion of dine mominus, the prevailing halacha is based on the minig hamakom. And therefore, if a consumer does not want to take a chance of spending money for esrog which is possible, he must explicitly stipulate that the sale is contingent on the fact that the esrog is kosher. Rabbeinu Ephraim this makes a distinction between an animal which has an uncommon trefa, like we're discussing in our Gemara, a punctured stomach, and one has an animal which has a sircha, an adhesion on its lung, which is very common. He says that a buyer is expected to anticipate a possible sircha on the animal's lungs, since it's so common. And if he wants to ensure that he didn't, he wants his money back if it turns out to be a trefa, he has to stipulate that if the animal has a sircha, he did not intend to buy it. And if he didn't make that stipulation, he will suffer the loss no matter when the sircha were developed. We learned in the Mishnah Chum Aimrim, Madvar Mumum Mumum Shibasaisa. Am Rav Nachman, the Nichva to Mumum Shibasaisa Domin. A mum that's not visible, the husband could claim that I never was able to know. Says the Gemara, somebody who's an epileptic could be considered a Mumum Shibasaisa, I didn't know. Says the Gemara, but when is epilepsy considered a Mumum Shibasaisa? In a case, the Kavila is man, that this woman always has her epileptic episodes at certain times. So there the husband could say, you knew not to let me see this girl when she has her specific time to have these attacks. Avalokfilazon. But if it could happen any time, so they don't know how to keep her hidden from him, then it's going to be considered kamum and shibagoli. And he cannot claim that I did not know. Al Gemara has discussed quite extensively the concept of Cheskes HaGuf. Cheskes HaGuf tells us that something happened at the last possible moment. And the Paiskim discuss a situation where a man, somebody, receives a letter that a relative of his, a close relative for whom he has to sit shiva, passed away recently. But they're very important halachas. The halach is that if he only becomes aware of this unfortunate event within 30 days of the Ptira, so he has to sit shiva. If it happens after 30 days, if he only becomes aware after 30 days from the time of death, he doesn't have to sit shiva. So such a situation happened where a person got a letter that his close relative died last month, but he doesn't know from the letter, was it before 30 days from today or after 30 days from today. So it seems that we should follow the Cheskes HaGuf. And Cheskes HaGuf tells us that the man was alive till the last passable, that the person was alive until the last passable moment. And therefore, since we found the Chesel Saguf, that he would, it seems, have to sit Shiva. But there's an interesting Taz. The Taz disagrees. The Taz says that even though very much based on what we're learning in our Gemara, the Taz in Simon Shin Tzadik Zion Sif Cotton Bays, he says that we don't have, he would not have to sit Shiva. And he says that even though we have a Cheskes Aguf, but there's certain Chazakas, a woman who's healthy. So the case that we've been discussing in our Shurim. So she has a Cheskes Aguf that she was healthy until the last possible moment. But when you have a Chazakah Asui L'shtanis, that we know that that Chazakah is not going to be here permanently, then we don't follow the Chazakah. Since, unfortunately, a person will die, the halacha is that we don't have a cheskas, we don't have a cheskas haguf to be able to rely on, and therefore he would not have to sit shiva. And the shach brings a raya, and the taz brings a raya from our Gemara. Because our Gemara spoke about the case where somebody exchanged the chamor and the parah, and we don't know when the chamor died. And we say that the owner of the chamor has to prove that the chamor was still alive when the kinyan took place. Ask the Taz, if we follow Cheskes Chai, so why does the Cheskes Chai say that the chamor died later rather than earlier? Says the Taz, we have here a dead chamor. When can we say a Cheskes Chai is when the chamor is still alive. When the chamor is dead, we can't say a Cheskes Chai. And the Cheshukei Chemed has the similar situation where a person was nifter in his home and nobody was there, and the doctor, and then he was discovered unfortunately dead, but we don't know when did he die. Did he die earlier or later? And the question that he discusses is regarding when should we keep the yard site? Should we keep the yard? In other words, the nifter was nifter either yesterday or today. We found him dead. We don't know what to do. Do we say Cheskes Chai? Do we say Cheskes Aguf? And we say that he certainly died in the last moment, and we'll keep the second day as the yard site. Or will we? Or it's a question. Ramosha says in Digris Moshe Yerodei Chel Gimel Simen Kuf Nantes that we followed the Cheskes Chai and we assumed that he died in the later date rather than the earlier date. The Chesam Sofer seems to disagree, and he says that we don't necessarily follow that Chazaka. Rav Moshe says that in this case we would actually Chesam Sofer maybe would agree. The Chesam Sofer, he says, is speaking about a case where we forgot what is the yard site of an individual, so do we keep the earlier date or the later date? But it could very well be that the Taz would not agree with Rav Moshe, because the Taz we just learned says that we don't follow that Cheskes Chai by Chazaka Asui L'shtanis. And therefore, what the Taz's opinion would be in this case is unclear. The Paiskim do say that if the doctor, through his medical know-how, is able to say that I could prove that the person died whatever day the doctor says, since we have a suffix, we could rely on the doctor's expertise to determine when is the yard site.